Okay, so today we're going to go into Baruch Aleinu, which is the last part of the personal bakashos. I want to make this shir l'zeichen nishmas, say over the shir l'zeichen nishmas, my grandmother, Toba Bas Yaakov, whose first yard site is this coming Beis Tishrei. And since Bez Hashem, I will not be giving shir next week, so I wanted to, therefore, do this little nishmasa. The Gemara tells us that the extent of one's livelihood is decided upon by Hashem between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So if the case is that one's livelihood has already been decided during these 10 days, what is the purpose of this bracha? No matter how much effort one exerts, he will not make a penny more than Hashem has decided. And this question is highlighted all the more by the fact that even on Erev Rosh Hashanah in Mincha, as we're heading into the next Rosh Hashanah, we say this bracha. What are we referring to here? And Rosh Shimon Schwab explains, it's apparent by the fact that our Chachamim instituted a tefillah for Parnasa to be recited daily, that they understood that the predetermination of the extent of one's livelihood has an inherent potential for enhancement. The potential for the enhancement of one's parnasa depends on the amount one spends for Shabbos and Yontif, or on the Torah education of his children. Taken in its broadest sense, what this means is, kol mezonosav shalodim kitzuvim lo mirosh Hashanah vad Yom Kippurim, with the exception of hotzah shabbosos vatzos yom tovim vatzos banav l'talmud Torah, that the more one extends his activities in the areas of Shmir Shabbos and in supporting Torah learning, the more money he will earn. Therefore, we're asking Hashem in this bracha to bless the efforts that we have made in earning our livelihood, the benefits of which are used for expanded expenditures for Shabbos and Yontif and support for Torah. The Mishnah Berurah writes that in this bracha, we should have in mind that Hashem provides us with that we should have sustenance with ease, not with difficulty, and that we should receive sustenance in a manner which is permitted by the Torah. The Yavetz quotes the Shla that we should daven that all poor people should also have means of support. Now we know, if we've been counting, Baruch Aleinu is the ninth bracha of Shmona Esrei. The ninth letter of the Aleph Beis is the letter Tes. And the first Tes that appears in the Torah is in the word Tov. And this demonstrates that the letter Tes and the number 9 represent goodness. And the Gemara tells us, if one sees the letter Tes in a dream, it's a good sign. And during the Sheshes Mebreshes, Hashem evaluated each day's accomplishments and pronounced judgment on it, Vayara Elokim Ki Tov. And therefore, in this ninth bracha, we ask Hashem to bestow upon us the goodness which He invested in creation. But we must realize that this goodness will not come overnight. Hashem's blessings often emerge gradually, like a baby emerging from its mother womb after 9 months. And the Kolbo notes, this bracha starts with a beis and ends with a mem. As we know, Torah Shebiksav starts with a beis, Torah Shebalpeh starts with a mem. A person who learns Torah will be blessed with a livelihood. This means that the spiritual pursuit of learning Torah will not impede our ability to procure a livelihood. To the contrary, Hashem will provide for us if we study Torah. And this bracha follows Rifa'enu because someone who is sick is not concerned about livelihood. Only when we are healthy do we worry about our livelihoods. So the bracha starts, Baruch Aleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashana Hazos. Rabbi Chiel Sparrow asks, why do we start this bracha with the words Baruch Aleinu? Isn't every barkasha one which we ask Hashem to bless us? Why specifically here do we use these words? And he explains, there are many who make millions and feel they are lacking, while some people live below the poverty line and feel that they have more than enough to live on. This is the meaning behind this bracha. In fact, true riches will be found by those who instill within themselves the following idea of Ezeo Ashir, Hasamech Bechelko. Who is rich? He who is happy with his lot. When we are blessed with some extra money, how do we use it? There were many great tzaddikim who would perform bedikas chametz on their money each night before they went to sleep. They did not want to have any money in their possession at the end of the day. They truly believed that every penny they had was theirs only in order for it to be used to help others. And the Gemara tells us that Reish Lakish had miscalculated by a few cents, and when he was nifter, he had a few cents left over for Yerusha for his children, because he had also attempted that he never would have extra money lying around. Rabbi Sparrow writes, he knows a very wealthy man who on every business deal that he makes, he saves 3% for his family, 37% goes to taxes, and the other 60% he places in a tzedakah account. And he writes there that this is obviously an exception to the rule, and he explains this person had a cheshbon, why he did it this way. You know, the chiyuv is 20%, but the ability to realize that just because Hashem gives us, it's not for us just to put away. The Nefesh Chaim tells us the word Baruch has the same root as Brecha, pool. And when we say Baruch Aleinu, we're in essence asking that he give us the ability to understand that he's the source of all this blessing. Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer says, in this bracha, we ask for prosperity for this year, because one's wealth is determined on an annual basis, as we know from the Gemara. Nevertheless, we continue to daven for our sustenance every day, because our allotment can be withheld for a variety of sins. During the course of a year, Hashem reviews every man's actions and spiritual level, and may issue new decrees of poverty and suffering against the man who on Rosh Hashanah was bountifully blessed. In addition, the Baal Shem Tov teaches that every day Hashem decides how much pleasure and satisfaction each person will derive from their possessions that he already has, and so we must daven for daily satisfaction. Rav Yitzchak Kirzner writes that we begin this bracha by saying Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu, to remind us that we pursue making a livelihood only after first acknowledging that we do so in the context of a relationship with Hashem. Before we go to work, we recognize that Hashem is the ultimate provider and our success is up to Him. If we believe that Hashem provides for us, then we won't try to make a living in any negative way. People who have no relationship with Hashem, when they make a livelihood, they may do anything that works. Values can quickly disappear when money is at stake. However, when we start the day by saying that our success depends upon Hashem's providing it, then we will not resort to any dishonest channels. It also helps us realize our success is not due to ourselves. It's not due to our efforts. It is not kochi v'otzim yodi osel esachayel hazeh. Rav Chaim Feuer says that we emphasize Hashanah Hazos, this year, to remind us of the importance of living in the present. Often we are overwhelmed and intimidated by the realities of the present and seek refuge in the fantasies about the future. And this bracha urges us to live in the present and plan for the immediate future. If Yosef Yozel Horowitz, the Alter of Narvardik, would say, even the worst present is far more beautiful than the brightest future. He also said a person must relinquish all of his tomorrows for one today, lest he come to relinquish all of his todays for one tomorrow. And the Siyich Yitzchak tells us the word shana and the word shinui, change, are connected. During a given year, a person is bound to experience change, and with every change comes another test. How will we adapt to this new situation? Will we still be generous? Will we still be able to find meaning with the goodness that we are all given? The bracha continues with Komine Svosala Tova. Rav Shimon Schwab tells us Tvua here does not refer to grain or to produce, but it means all forms of production, which means all business, manufactured goods and services to others that we produce. And the Gemara tells us one is considered financially secure when he owns land that can produce enough crops to sustain all of his needs. We therefore request that Hashem not only give us sustenance, but also peace of mind in obtaining it. Let us enjoy job security and not be anxious about our careers and future. We then say V'sein Bracha or V'sein Talamata L'Vracha Al Pnei Ha'adama. Now we ask for a bracha for the agriculture, produce of the land, the Al Pnei Ha'adama. And our tefillah here is that there'll be enough food to feed all the hungry people in the world. Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer says, by requesting a blessing of Al Pnei Ha'adama, one keeps in mind to ask for only prosperity that comes from this world. No one should want to prematurely receive some of the reward which is stored up for eternal enjoyment in Olam Haba. And as we know, a couple of famous stories, Rav Shimon ben Yochai had a Talmud who had left yeshiva and gone out to make money and was successful. And the other Talmidim, you know, were a little jealous. And he took him out to a valley, the Talmidim, and he spoke to the valley and he said, "Valley, valley, give forth gold coins." And the valley did. And Rav Shimon ben Yochai said, "If anyone wants, you can go and take. But realize this is from Yolam Haba." And the other story, which I don't remember who it was with, also one of the Tanoim who was very poor, and one time, Chanina Mendoza, you know, his wife pushed him enough that he davened, and Hashem gave him a golden table leg. And then he had a dream, and in the dream he saw everyone else was sitting with three legs, his table only had two legs. And he realized that the leg that he was given came from his Olam Haba, and he requested, and Hashem listened and took it back that he would have the third table leg in the next world. V'sabeinu mituvecha. We ask for prosperity with utmost caution and trepidation, as success can easily be a curse, for the perils of prosperity are many. One, prosperity can easily lead to arrogance. As we said, kochi votzim yodi osali achayel hazeh. Two, prosperity must be maintained and protected, a laborious and pressing burden, as we know, marbim dechosim, marbim de'oga. Three, the greatest hazard of prosperity is that it fosters insatiable greed. The Vilna Gaon writes, materialism is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. So we daven to Hashem v'sabeinu mituvecha. We can be content only when we realize that the source of our success is you and not our own efforts. If we humbly appreciate that all of our blessings are the fruits of Hashem's generosity, we will experience no negative side effects. And the Gemara tells us that when a person dies, not even half of his desires will have been fulfilled in his lifetime. The nature of our attachment to the physical world is such that it creates greater and greater appetite. Someone who makes his first 100 wants 200. When he makes 200, he insatiably wants more. And the fact that a person has been blessed doesn't mean that he feels as though he has. When someone who has something, he always wants more, and therefore he never truly has anything. Therefore we ask Hashem to give us, and then we ask to be happy with what we have. Rav Shimon Schwab says that we're asking Hashem that even a little bit of food should be enough to satisfy us. And also we're asking for the spiritual goodness. It should be mituvecha from Hashem. And Rav Yonason Eibshitz in the Yaris Devash explains, we're asking Hashem to satisfy us from that which He considers good. And he says this refers specifically to kosher food. He says it's possible inadvertently to eat foods that we're not supposed to eat. And technically we're not culpable for mistakes that occur without our knowledge. Yet we still ask Hashem to help us to make sure that everything we eat is kosher. Because foods that are not kosher create spiritual havoc within us. And Rav Shimon Schwab says that some of the texts have v'sabeinu mituvah with a hey, which refers to the Adama, the ground of Eretz Yisrael. V'reich sh'naseinu k'ashanim atovos, referring only again to the present year. The reference to the good years is to the future years. These years are described in the Navi Yoel, Perek Beis, Psukim Yodches, Techav Zayin. And then the bracha ends, Baruch Atah Hashem v'reich ha'shanim. This is said in present tense. And it's an expression of our Emunah Shleima that Hashem will fulfill His promise to bless the future years. And we ask in this tefillah that He will also bless Hashana Hazos, the present year, with all those blessings. And Rav Shimon Schwab, as a summary in this, says, although again our livelihood for the present year has been decided on Rosh Hashanah, nevertheless we ask Hashem here to increase that predetermined amount in the merit, as we said, of the extensive expenditures in the areas of Shabbos, Yontif, and support of Torah learning. And the more we expend our efforts for these objectives and practice them on a large scale, the more we can expect the blessings of Hashem in return. As Chazal say, Im Hosif, Mosifin Lo. And if a person has difficulties with Parnasa, Chazal tell us he should add, as he does in Rifa'enu for a sick person, he should add his own personal tefillah here just before the end of this bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem, Mevarech Hashanim. And with this bracha, as we started, we said we complete the first part of the middle brachas of Shemona Esrei, which deal with the personal needs of the individual. And Be'ezras Hashem, when we re-pick up, we will start the second part of these bakoshos, which deal more with the Geula and Klal Yisrael, with the bracha of Tekah B'Shofar. The story, and then the homework. So this story I've said over, and it may have even been recently, but again, I got it in my email this week, and it's very nogeya as we come to Rosh Hashanah. It's a story again of a group of beggars, and they were trying to figure out how to survive, how to make money. And one of them had the idea again of becoming a Chassidish Rebbe, and they figured that this was going to be it. And they were welcomed in the home of a certain wealthy man, and as soon as they came in, the wife came running down the stairs with tears in her eyes. And she said, "You have to help us. My baby daughter is sick. We need your help." And it turned out the girl had a rare illness and a very high fever. And this so-called Rebbe didn't know what to do. He wasn't expecting anything like this. He took the child and he asked for a private room. And he says, "I hope I can help." A half hour later, he emerged from the room. The girl looked much better and her fever was down. "I think everything is going to be okay. There's nothing to worry about." When they left the house, the other Hasidim turned to him and asked how he cured the child. He said, I turned to Hashem and said, I know I'm an imposter, a fraud, but I need you, Hashem. I need you now. Please help me. And I cried from the depths of my heart and prayed with absolute sincerity. And if we realize, as we come into Yom Nerayim, that besides the facts that of Chazal, that Hashem is much closer to us and hears the tefillos and wants to build that relationship with us, but if we cry, and we cry from the depths of our heart, Hashem will answer us and accept the tefillos. And we all, you know, no one is excluded, that no one has something in their pekel, in their lives, that can be difficult. And here's our chance. Yes, we have the chance every day, but as we come into a Yom Nerayim again, the 10 closest days that Hashem has with us, you know, our Father, and we reach out to Him, and we reach out sincerely, and each of us knows who we are. We know where we're holding, we know what we need to work on, we know, you know, what averus we have, what mitzvahs we have. You know, if we think about it, you know, I know as the chazan, I get up and I start the Tefillah of Hineni. You know, it certainly overwhelms me standing in front of the tzibur doing it, but the truth is, it really should overwhelm each and every one of us as we stand there of who we are and say, you know what, Hashem? Yes, maybe I am an imposter, maybe I am a fraud, but I need you as we go into a new year. And with that, Hashem should answer all our tefillos, bring the Mashiach and the Gula and the Pius Gol, amen. And the homework, obviously, is to think about this bracha at least once during the three Shemone Esrays each day that we do over this next week, or next month. You know, we can think about the whole Shemone Esray up to this point, as Bez Hashem, we will re-pick up again after the Yom Tovim.